Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Always a fun day, always a challenge. Try to stuff it all in. Of a football Sunday turns into a football Monday. Week four got off to a pretty good start, going back to the Thursday game. The Packers, obviously, the Eagles and Lambeau. Mm-hmm. That was fun. And I got to tell you, Tate, the continuation was pretty solid. The Browns getting right.
Yeah.
The backup quarterback still flowed a little bit here. And how about what in the world? That Rams-Bucks game.
Man, no idea.
Was wildly no unpredictable. Idea. How about the Lions in Kansas City?
Yep.
Good football Sunday.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the Lions, they were a play or two away. Because that's why they ended up losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. A play or two away from being undefeated 3-0-1 this season. And us scratching our heads saying, what the heck happened with this Lions squad? But the Buccaneers are the one that you mentioned, BT, that just it hits me like, man, does a coach make that much difference? Or does a coaching staff make that much difference? One, in the mindset of Jameis Winston, but two, on the defensive side of the ball. I know we have our opinions about Todd Bowles as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not suited for him. No. It doesn't have the makeup to be a head coach in the National Football League. And yes, I know he gave up 40 points, or at least his team gave up 40 points to the Los Angeles Rams this weekend. But it just feels like a different Bucs squad like that. I mean, that's hard to do. It's hard to like flip culture like that. And that's what this Bucs team feels like. And let's not forget, if it wasn't for a 42 or 3-yard chip shot against the New York Giants, they're 3-1 right now with a chance to go take the lead in the division because they play the Saints this weekend. But the biggest thing, the biggest upside for the Bucs is Jameis Winston. BT had that one bad play, pick six. I think he got tipped a little bit, but it was a stupid throw because the corner could easily sag back into that throwing lane. He intercepted it and returned it for a touchdown, Marcus Peters. But other than that, Jameis Winston was amazing. You see the stats there, 28 of 48, or 41 if you're watching on the tube here, 385 yards and four touchdowns. And one of them was an easy throw to Mike Evans. But the other ones were, I mean, they had to be on time. They had to be smart. He turned into a smart quarterback over the course of 6 months with Bruce Arians as the whisperer that he is. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. We know Bruce really well. First coach, really first guest on this show. Again, you got to laud him, man. If you're a Buccaneers fan, you're feeling okay about Jameis Winston after the last 3 weeks. First week, he was terrible. The last 3 weeks, Jameis Winston looks like a franchise quarterback for the Buccaneers.
And that first week was San Francisco. I think it was 30-17 or 31-17, something like that. Yeah, they should have three wins right now. They got sucked up by the Danny Dimes, not Danny Wheels, start to his giant career. But, you know, I'm going to stop a little short. This has nothing to do with Bruce. I'm a little reticent to go, not that you're going all in on Jameis Winston. I know you're not doing that here.
No.
But, you know, you look at cultures, right? And you try to, whether it's Miami, which just has an obvious disparity in talent.
Mm-hmm.
We know what their mission clearly is. They're trying to rebuild and get some draft equity. That's all good. And they're still playing hard, so that's a pretty positive sign. But you think about coaches that start over in, you know, various situations. Bruce Arians, and he's no dummy. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of street hustle in him. He knows a decent situation when he sees one. And Mike Evans is one of the two or three biggest mismatches in the wide receiver position in all the football.
Doesn't matter who's guarding him.
Doesn't matter. Absolutely.
Linebacker, doesn't matter.
Safety
doesn't matter. Corner, I mean, all day.
He's faster than a safety. He's bigger than a corner. And he's both than a linebacker.
Yes.
So he's going to win 90% of those 50-50 balls. So obviously, you got a little weaponry there. And, you know, again, Jameis has shown enough, certainly at Florida State, even the first couple of years in the NFL, where you're like, man, the arm talent's there.
Yep.
The moxie is there. The body type is there. He's got, It was not the – I don't think it was – I guess we have to call ourselves out here. I don't know that it was such an arduous rebuild the way we positioned it to be.
It's just getting that guy, Jameis Winston –
getting him right.
– to not do stupid stuff. No, he's right for the most part. And then he
but
said –
I mean right as decision-making.
As a winner, I think. Yes, decision-making, but it leads to winning because he'll be right. Again, San Francisco, he played a really good game for a lot of the game. And then it got to crunch time, and he was like, I got to be the hero here. I'm going to fit this pass here and throw this, you know, this screen. I can make it. It's a busted-up screen. Instead of throwing it into the ground like every quarterback is taught to do when your running back gets held up or tight end, whoever you're throwing the screen to, he tries to, like, squeeze it through two defenders. It gets intercepted and returned for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's like, don't do that. Throw it away. Live to fight another day. And for 3 weeks, he did that, except for the Marcus Peters interception. Which we're just alluding to. But, you know, I see Mike Evans as the stud that you just described. I see Chris Godwin, who had 100-plus receiving yards in a touchdown this past weekend for the Buccaneers, as just on par with – he's right there with Mike Evans. Cameron Brate is a good tight end, especially in the red zone. And then Jones, who runs his butt off, from USC. This kid is tough. He's got these, like, quirks in his game, so he's hard to tackle. And now Jameis has all of this talent around him, and he's finally utilizing it the right way. I think the biggest thing that Bruce Arians did for Jameis Winston was don't try so hard. It's simple. It's an easy fix. And it sounds like anybody could tell you to do that, but it's hard to get a kid like Jameis to do it. Don't try so hard. Just get your guys the ball and let them do the work. And that's what we've seen for the last 3 weeks. And especially in one of the biggest upsets of this weekend on the road against a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. It's the Buccaneers. I mean, they ran away with this game for the most part.
They did. They have a 21-zip.
It was 21-zip, and then it was like 28-7 or 10 or whatever it was. And then, you know, before you know it, the defense starts picking up in critical moments. This Bucs team is interesting. I'm not saying they're going deep and going to do what, but they're interesting. They're not a gimme win by any stretch of the imagination.
I agree with that. You know, yesterday was interesting on a few levels. You know, Tom Brady did not play well at all.
No, it's been 2 weeks in a row, actually. He's played average.
They blocked. They're true. They blocked the punt yesterday. They scored a touchdown that way against the Bills. We'll obviously touch that game. We'll hit them all. Matt Ryan leads the NFL in picks. The Falcons are lost.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen is a mess. I'm sorry. I know the Bills are still pretty good. Josh Allen just is woefully inaccurate.
They're good. Woefully. They're good. You said this on Friday because their defense is stellar.
It's terrific. Their defense and their culture is good.
Agreed.
They're well coached, but Josh Allen is going to have to tighten up a few things. Deshaun Watson wasn't very good. Kirk Cousins was horrendous. They scored 6 points. Dak Prescott, you know, that was an ugly game, albeit a very high character win for the Saints. I say all this because a lot of established names, not that Josh Allen's established name, but the other ones clearly are Brady, Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins, and Dak. You know, but yesterday was an odd configuration of confluence of things. Minshew played pretty well again.
Yep.
I mean, you know, here we are talking about Jameis. Now we're raving about Jameis. And the Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota will forever be connected.
Right.
We know that, right?
Right.
Here's what I definitively know. It was a character win for the Titans yesterday as well, going in and beating the aforementioned Falcons. But I still don't have the utmost belief that conviction in Mariota's talent. I do with Jameis Winston. Winston.
Yeah, it's just if they were a
hybrid. I always have.
If they
Jameis
were a hybrid, if they were a hybrid, they'd be an MVP candidate.
My God, that's
seriously
true.
If they were merged together, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota were one guy, because Marcus Mariota doesn't want to make mistakes.
Yeah,
that's what holds him back. That's why he gets sacked so many times, because he holds on to the football forever. This weekend he didn't, and he got rid of it. Threw for over 300 yards, and he looked like
he looked
like a quarterback that you could rely upon. But for the most part, like the overarching book on Marcus Mariota, safe quarterback, doesn't throw interceptions. Remember, it took him until last year to throw a red zone interception in his career. So 4 years in before he threw his first red zone interception. But he doesn't quite have the arm talent, doesn't have the presence on the field. Maybe in the locker room he does, but on the field, that stoic, big presence isn't there. Jameis is all of that. He just had bad decision making. It's like they need to come to the means of each other, and maybe they turn into franchise quarterbacks from their respective squads.
What do we make of the Rams here? You know, every week we've been saying the first 3 weeks, the offense.
They're beat up on defense. They score a ton of points, and they're going to do that regardless.
But it was the first time the offense clicked. The first three weeks, offense was pretty pedestrian.
I mean, here's what we're starting to see: the Todd Gurley. I guess non-effect. I was going to say Todd Gurley effect, but the non-effect. Like they're limiting the touches that he gets, even though they're not saying that they're limiting the touches that Todd Gurley gets. In the season, through four games, he's got almost 50 carries. So that's what, 11, 12 carries a game or so? And it's not bad. Like his numbers are good. 4.5 yards a carry. He's got a few touchdowns. But Todd, what made them good last year before he hurt his knee was Todd Gurley was a horse, man. Turn around and hand that thing to him 25, 30 times if you had to. Chunk it to him a couple times. He's going to get in the end zone or at least put in a position where you're in scoring position. And then most importantly, whenever you intimated that you were handing in the football, everybody sucks forward. And guess what the Rams led the league in last year? Play action pass passing, right? And so this year, without Todd Gurley being Todd Gurley, Jared Goff is having to put a lot more on his shoulders, and it might be a little bit premature for Sean McVay, their head coach and play caller, to have him drop back 77 times.
You think?
There's 68 throws he had yesterday, but he dropped back 77 times. Mm-hmm. Got hit, got rushed. What do you have, 4 interceptions?
Yesterday it was 3.
3 interceptions. Yeah,
and 2 interceptions the week before, by the way, against the Browns.
So 3 interceptions this past week. Yeah, that fumble that finished the game. But Shaq Barrett was unbelievable. Defensive player of the year right now in the NFL for the Buccaneers. The sack fumble that Ndamukong Suh returned for a touchdown. He's just, without Todd Gurley being Todd Gurley and their play-action pass game being so prolific, Jared Goff is average. And so you talk about, like, what's wrong with them? That's what it is. They need Todd Gurley. It was a reason that they paid Todd Gurley after his second year and, stole those couple of seasons to get him there and locked up for the future. Because they know they have to have him for this offense to click. Jared Goff is good. He's not Tom Brady putting on in my shoulders and doing everything possible to win a
football
game.
He'll never be that guy.
You're right.
It's 5 years down the road and he's got every ounce of intel around the NFL. Jared Goff is not that guy. And, you start to see some strong semblance of what he does well and what he doesn't do well. I understand he'll play well in the Super Bowl. It's the Pats. It's Belichick. That's fine. Give him a pass. A lot of good Hall of Famers, actually. Big Ben was horrendous his first Super Bowl. Going to give you a pass there. And 68 attempts clearly is an anomaly here. But 38 the week before, 39 in week one. If they think they're going to mosey to a 13-3 record where Jared Goff flinging it around 35 to 40 times a Sunday, they're out of their minds.
You're right.
He's not that guy.
Look, you throw for 500 yards. I understand why you had to do it because they were down 21-0, as we were talking about. But they were down because they kept dropping them back.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10 carries, or actually 11 because Cooper Kupp had one. There's 10 carries from their running backs. You're not going to win that way in the National Football League unless you have Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning or someone who is – like a surgeon throwing the football. That's not Jared Goff's game. And so I like the kid. I'm glad he got paid. I like Sean McVay's philosophy, but it's not going to work if you put him in danger like you continually put him in danger. 77 dropbacks.
It's ridiculous. He's not a great athlete. He's an okay athlete.
88 plays, 77. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, BT.
Nope. 855-212-4227. So we have a lot to get into. Obviously, glossed over a few things, but coming up, we'll dive a little more deeply into the Bills. I know they lost, but what's your takeaway there? The Browns biting back and stabilizing their season. Dallas, I know it was ugly, 12-10. Nobody wants to see a 12-10 Sunday night game. I understand that. But what do you take away from the Saints' point of view, and what do you take away from the Dallas Cowboys' point of view? So obviously the challenge, we'll squeeze it all in, which we certainly will. Five-star rewind coming up this hour as well. Inbounds, out of bounds. The Redskins, what they did with Haskins was ridiculous. They are going absolutely nowhere. And Clemson, we do a little college football as well. Trevor Lawrence, his numbers aren't good. You can make the strong case And I'll try to do this in hour two. That right now there's at least six teams in college football, at least six better than Clemson.
We didn't think we'd see a sophomore slump from him, but, man, if this isn't a sophomore slump, I don't know what is.
We're seeing it, but we stick with the NFL out of the chute. Your calls, our reaction, 1-855-212-4227. Take in Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You ever get in your car and it won't start? Yep, been there. Dead battery. And the last thing you want during the cold months is a dead battery. One out of four batteries will fail this winter. Will it be yours? Well, get yours tested for free during Super Start Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly has the Super Start battery just for your car, truck, or SUV. You know you can trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. They'll check your battery for free, but they'll also check your alternator and starter for free, and your wiper blades, bulbs, and engine lights, too. O'Reilly can resurface your drums and rotors, loan you tools, and build you a custom hydraulic hose. And did I mention that they even mix paint? How cool is that? Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years, and so can you. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance here on a Monday. Obviously, we're hitting it all. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206. Nice to see the Tiki and Tierney mojo still popping. We had Herm Edwards on last week.
Great win for them.
What did they do? They went to undefeated Cal Memorial Stadium. They dealt the Bears their first defeat of the season. We had Shaq Thompson on, linebacker for the Panthers, a little road win. So that mojo was still flowing.
And they tried to give that game away, by the way, with all the turnovers in the first half. But
then
Kyle Allen, he came back and balled, man.
He's the quarterback of the future.
He's got to be.
Cam may as well pack his
bags. He was undrafted in 2018. Nobody remembers his path at all. And here he is. You're excited to see him play. And more importantly, BT, you have a belief that he can bring your team back. It's not like, this game is over. He played terrible. Let's get to the next week. It's never that. It feels that way with Kyle Allen. It's interesting.
Did you see the catch McCaffrey made when he dived and knocked it up to himself? I mean, that was – who was doing that game?
Rondé.
It was Rondé.
Yeah, Rondé.
Rondé's description of that play was awesome.
Yeah, Rondé and Kenny did that game.
He hit it all. It was the hand eye, the athleticism, the tenacity. That was late. That was a big first down.
Love that kid, man.
He is so good, man. Here's my tweet about the Pats and the Bills. This was yesterday after the game. Pick the Pat. You know I picked the Bat. Listen, I bet money on the Bills last week when I saw the line open at 7.5. I said that on the show. I knew they'd cover. I thought the Pats would win. I picked the Pats to win. I played the Bills to cover the number. Love Buffalo's culture, believe in their level of preparation and focus, but you just get the sense they'll be leaving too many points on the field the next 5 to 7 years with Josh Allen. Now, running outside the pocket is one thing, and getting hit, and that's a different conversation, which we could certainly have.
You'd almost rather him do that.
He made his three picks, they were the same mistakes. The same bad throws.
Right.
Rolling to his right, flinging it up, not seeing the safety coming in.
What are
you looking at?
Let me quiet my feet when I get in trouble and stand on my back foot, which is his right foot, and I have a cannon for an arm. Let me just throw it. We'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. Not the National Football League.
So you tell me how a guy like that ever becomes far more efficient. If he's that reckless now.
BT, he's got to work with a coach, like a quarterback coach, a specific quarterback coach, to teach him to drill the mechanics. Remember when I had my fumbling problem?
Sure.
I met with my running back coach. We went and we drilled this. I mean, it was a pain in the ass over and over. Hold this ball high and tight. You know what? You're on the treadmill. Hold it high and tight. You know what? You're lifting. Lift with your left hand. Hold the ball high and tight.
Walking around the campus like the program.
Seriously.
Hold it high and tight when you go to school.
I seriously did that. I did it for like 8 months, and it drilled in my head. But the mechanics snapped in, so it became second nature to me. Right? And so when I look at Josh Allen – and I remember, didn't Chris Sims or who was it? One of the draft analysts we had on talked about this with Josh Allen. Yes, he's exciting. He's big. He's strong. He's got a cannon. He looks awesomely the part. But mechanics matter. Really, it's the only thing that matters for quarterbacks. Think about Kyler Murray at Oklahoma. Why was he so good? Because his mechanics are flawless. He dances in the pocket. His feet are always where they're supposed to be. So that when he has to make a snap throw, like Josh Allen has to make, you have to make that snap throw or decision that's not processed correctly. Your feet are right. He just stands still and leans on his back foot and throws it up. My arm's going to get it there. No, it doesn't work that way. It's just like a baseball player, right? If you're trying to throw somebody out at home plate, you're not standing flat-footed in center field and just, my arm's strong, I'm going to get there. You gather your whole body and like step correctly right where you want it to go and you let it fly. He just doesn't do that.
It's called the crow hop.
Exactly.
You have to do it.
He doesn't do it. And there's a crow hop in football. You see it all the time with these elite quarterbacks. It's just a little tiny step to get your hips swiveling the right way and turning and pivoting towards your target. He doesn't do it. And so as a result, the ball hangs up. I mean, it looks pretty. It's like that gorgeous golf shot that flies off into the woods, right? It looks pretty. But
it's 340 the wrong way. But it looked good.
It's going to get intercepted. 95% of the time, you throw balls like that, it's going to get intercepted.
You know, it's funny because when you talk about when you had the fumble issue and hold it tight and you try to almost make that a muscle memory.
Yeah, it has to become muscle memory.
No question. And I can only imagine how arduous that must have been. Because you're changing your process. Mm-hmm. You're going from being a natural, you know, free-flowing athlete to almost mechanical.
That's right.
But, and I ask this, I think my instincts are right, but wouldn't it be far tougher to do what we're asking him to do?
Yeah.
At least you
significantly
want focus on one thing.
There's no movement.
Get it high, get it tight.
And there's no movement, BT.
Boom. And know the playbook.
Yes, but there's no movement
exactly.
to do this. It's just kind of like, hold it there. Make sure your elbow's down. When you get into contact, wrap up, you know, off ball hand across on ball wrist and just go to the ground. It's no movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're talking about, all right, your feet got to get right. Your hips got to transition the right way.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, the ball's got to be positioned, not up, not down. It's got to be right in the middle of your body so that when you take that step, you're quick, your release. It's so many moving parts.
A lot of variables.
And so, you know, I remember saying this when he got drafted there because remember we were looking at their coaching staff. And I like their coordinator, Daboll. And I think he's done a good job in teaching him NFL football. But the one thing that I was worried about, I was like, well, who's the, because I don't, he coached like tight ends or something, but that's not, that doesn't matter about play calling. I said, who's the, I remember thinking, who is the quarterback coach?
We went through all those guys.
Yeah,
I remember, we did that.
Like, who's the quarterback coach is teaching this kid how to play quarterback? Because clearly he didn't have it in college, and he doesn't have it now. He gets away with being an awesome athlete. But that only worked for so long, especially against really good defenses like the New England Patriots, who can telegraph things and think above the X's and O's. So yeah, you're right. It is significantly harder to evolve a quarterback once he's already in the National Football League.
I don't know how I would feel if I'm a Bills fan today.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
I don't
odd.
Know. I would feel like certainly not galvanized, but I would feel a little more sure of what I have. Let's face it, they've had a few other 3-0 starts and it's collapsed. One of the 3-0 seasons, they finished 6-10.
That's right.
Orchard Park has seen this before. Western New York, New Era Field seen this before. If I'm a Bills fan today, am I going down the road where I'm saying, man, if we don't get that punt blocked and you know, we're right there, we still almost could have won the game. Am I going that road or am I going the road that I point out? Yeah, the culture is good and the defense is terrific. But until this young man licks some serious deficiencies with mechanical deficiencies, there's going to be a lot of Sundays where Bill fans walk away from their TV saying, man, our offense just isn't where it needs to be.
Yeah.
I mean, they were down 16-0 to the Jets in week one.
You're right.
I mean, think about that.
You're right.
They can't score. It's not that.
I just looked this up, BT.
It's not that good.
I knew their defense was. I didn't realize it was like this good, like slash elite. They are number two in the league in yards, number 5 in points scored. And this is constantly having to be on the field because their offense is not that efficient, except for 36-year-old Frank Gore. So you can't even, like, put this on the run game. You can't even say, well, there's no semblance of a run game. You know, this is hardly Josh Allen's fault. No, it's you got a pretty good runner in Frank Gore, who at 36 somehow still has a ridiculous
balance. I'd rather have Shady.
I would too.
I'd rather have Shady
because he's more dynamic. I agree with you, but at least Frank can pound you. He's going to pound
the
rock.
It's
unbelievable.
He still does.
I marvel at his durability and acumen and
humility and professionalism.
Humility, exactly, and subtle Like, there's a subtleness to his game. There's nothing flashy. It's just like, all right, I'm going to make you miss, or you're going to be on the side of my hip. I'm going to drag you for 3-4 more yards, mm-hmm. get a first down, and, you know, let's roll.
And avoid getting popped, too.
Exactly.
Because I'm very, very good at just kind of rolling out of harm's way.
Yeah, Frank Gore.
He's very
man.
Adept at that, you notice? Well, you don't play until you're 36 as a running back and you're getting popped in the chops.
And here's
every
the thing.
Week.
Maybe 3 years ago, people would say, well, what's his, you know, is he a Hall of Famer? I reluctantly say, yeah, he probably is because he hung around for so long. He's going to be where he is on the yards list. But seeing how he's evolved in all these places that he goes, because it was Miami last year and the year before that, it was, I forgot where he was before he was in Miami. But whatever, he's bouncing.
49ers.
Colts, that's what I'm thinking of. It was Colts and then he was in Miami and now he's here. Everywhere he goes, he just. Consistent,
he is,
and it's he's clipping.
But where are you going with that?
He's gonna finish top. I'm just talking about Frank Gore in specific. Yes, if you're a Bills fan,
I mean, pardon me, for the Bills' point of view.
I mean, it's whatever.
What are you going with that?
Nowhere, but for him, he's gonna finish his career top three. He's gonna be the third leading rusher.
That just doesn't sound right.
In the history
and I like Frank,
of the National Football League. He's not getting to Emmett at over 18 Bills. Not getting to Walter at 16, whatever it is, 780. But he's about to jump the fourth spot and be number three overall.
That's
history
incredible.
Of the National Football League.
There's no need to even try to denigrate that, which I certainly wouldn't want to do. The only thing I would add to
my point is, is he a Hall of Famer? It's not even a conversation.
Here's the thing, you know, I think if you want to put it in perspective, I think you'll like this. He was unfairly penalized for being an obscurely irrelevant
for a
bad
long,
Niner teams,
long
right?
Time they were bad.
And at the end of the day, he's probably going to get a little bit unjustly rewarded based on hanging on and tacking on.
Yeah.
The answer's probably somewhere more in the middle. He had some terrific years with the 49ers that nobody noticed.
2006. They were, I don't remember what their record was that season.
06.
Here, I can look it up. They were 7-9, so they were below 500. Almost 1,700 yards he rushed for that season.
That many, huh?
1,700 yards. He had 8 touchdowns and 500 yards receiving. You're right. He toiled away on some bad teams.
Nobody saw it,
but 1,000-yard season. I mean, he had at least 9, maybe 10,000-yard seasons in his career.
That alone gets you in.
Exactly.
855-212-4227. All right, so Teague and I had obviously set the table, give you a chance to jump in and react to it. We've got Jay Bourbon's update now, and we'll come back. We've got a little 5-star rewind, so just getting busy on a Monday. Here is Jay Bourbon.
Woo!
All right, it's time to ask the pros here, Teague and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Us brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Pretty easy drill by now. Just tweet us whatever's on your mind at CBS Sports Radio. That is our Twitter handle for this, at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros and make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teague and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts. Better prices every single day. Teague and Tierney here. Football Monday, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll do this a little later, but early hearty shout-out to our guy, Coach Cower, the Steelers Ring of Fame tonight.
Oh, nice. That's
awesome. A lot of honors going around these
days.
People
are.
We know. You know
there
this
are.
Is.
Well, I think that teams are starting to do this every year. If you have a worthy candidate, I mean, most of the teams do. Some of them actually don't.
Except this guy's.
Yeah, right. I mean,
going to go to Joe Namath so many times.
Wait, who?
We got Corbett in there.
They're already in there. But I'm talking about who would be recent.
Darrell Revis will be next.
Revis,
and, of course, he went and won a championship with the Pats. Yeah, I don't even really want him up there at this point.
Wait, hold on. Is he going to get booed or cheered?
You know what? I don't know. That's going to be a little – I think it's going to depend where the Jets are at that point. If it's a good Jets team, I think they'll be happy. Even though you left us. Yeah, all right, cool. You were great. If it's like now,
they're wallowing in mediocrity.
Gonna boo his behind.
Get the hell out of here, Revis. Mangold, they will cheer.
Nick Mangold, they will definitely cheer. Maybe Brick gets in there as well. I'm not sure if I would put Brick, but they might. Yeah, see, listen, I like this. I have less to contest. I mean, the Hall of Fames are obviously very different.
Yep.
It's always been my position. Whatever's important to a fan base, if an organization deems player X important enough to put his name up on the Ring of Fame or honor like yours or Rondé's or whomever's, then that's the way it should be.
London Flecther.
Ladies and one of the old time London Flecther. All right, you ready for a little 5-star?
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest 5-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
95 Star Rewind brought to you by Skittles and Snickers. Let's go. As always, we start on the Sunday night stage, and this one coming down to the wire as Dak trying to save the boys.
Prescott in the gun, three receivers to the far side. Takes a snap. Saints bring five. Prescott throws this one. It's not even going to get to the end zone. It is intercepted. Marcus Williams and the New Orleans Saints take this one from the Dallas Cowboys 12-10 on a phenomenal defensive performance.
That's how it sounded. Zach Streif doing his thing on the Saints radio network postgame. Dak Prescott on the play and loss number one.
It was tough. Between the run game, the pass game, we just couldn't get it going early. We finally got a drive in the second half, but when you're playing in an atmosphere like this, when you're playing a good team and a good defense like that, that's too late. Got to convert on that first scoring drive that we had. Got to make that pass in the back of the end zone to Cobb. We just left a lot of plays out there tonight, and it showed.
Character win for the Saints without Drew Brees, 12-10. The final, you know what, it's kind of a subtle thing here, but if you've got to throw it 50 yards in the air, as Dak did, bring the heat. Bring the pressure. Don't give him time to throw it to the end zone.
That's exactly what they did. Rookie C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who Drew Brees was congratulating after the game, went right to him, pressured Dak Prescott, which is why he couldn't get a lot of oomph on that throw when it came up a little short and ultimately intercepted. And that interception, while not indicative of what went on in the game, it was the method by which the Saints beat them. A couple of turnovers. Von Bell had two of them, forced fumble, one with Jason Witten, one with Ezekiel Elliott. That stifled drives. Teddy Bridgewater is not going to score like Drew Brees is going to score. But this team, the Saints team, is playing good defense and special teams. And that's what won this one at home against previously one of the best teams in the NFC.
A very big win. So Dallas now, they dropped to 3-1. The Saints improved to 3-1. The Cowboys coming up 4:25 Eastern. They will host the Packers. Dallas early 3.5-point favorites. Good game there. And the Saints, they will host the suddenly interesting 2-2 Bucks, who hung 50-plus on the Rams, and New Orleans, 4.5-point favorites in that matchup. We move on. Up next, Teague, a battle of unbeaten is in Buffalo. And as usual, the Pats pulling out all the stops to squeeze out the win.
He takes a low snap. Ooh, he's under pressure. Punt is blocked. Punt is blocked by J.C. Jackson. It bounces into the hands of Gordon. Yeah. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Patriots.
How about that, Bobby? Special teams, baby. Wow. What a block off the right edge.
Matthew Slater with the recovery and the run back for the score.
That's just well-coached football right there.
Yeah, made a 13-zip. To the Bills' credit, they would actually muster a rally, but when it was all said and done, 16-10 the final. The Pats take it. That's how it sounded. Bob Soci and Scott Zolak. Oh, yeah.
No, you got to love
listening
to them.
They're awesome. Thing, that's the Pats radio network team.
Yeah, look, we mentioned this already. The Patriots' offense has not been stellar as of late. We're not ready quite yet. BT and I had this conversation in the break to say this is the beginning of the end for Tom Brady, because we kind of say that every year.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't been great. Their defense, however, has been unbelievable. One-yard rushing touchdown by Josh Allen at the end of this game was the first touchdown that the Pats defense, now they get one special team, one offensive interception return for a touchdown against the Jets, but that was the first Pats TD allowed since last year. Their defense has been unbelievable. Jamie Collins, Chase Winovich are leading the way with three sacks apiece. Jamie Collins has three interceptions on the season, as does Devin McCourty, who's now recorded an interception in five straight games. Mm-hmm. Dude, they're balling on the defensive side of the ball for the Pats. The Bills, as we talked about, they're just not quite there yet.
They can't score with great frequency or ease, but the culture is good and the defense is great. Bottom line, Pats 4-0 on the season. They are at the Redskins, so a little JV tune-up there. Already 15.5-point favorites are the Pats, and the Buffalo Bills 3-1 at Tennessee. The Titans a big win yesterday. Just we were jumping off the Titans bandwagon. Maybe convince you hang around an extra week here or so. Tennessee early 2.5-point favorites there. That is 1 Eastern on CBS. Now, post-game, Josh Allen, who took a vicious hit out of the pocket. Here's Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
He didn't take the what the defense was giving him, and he's got to learn from that. So we're going to continue to drill that home, and I think you saw some of that when we came out. When we did move the ball, and then the first drive of the second half, you saw some of that. Vic, to your point. So we've got to, he's got to learn from that.
All right, moving on. May want to toss out those toe tags in the old trash. The Browns, anything but dead. Nick Chubb going to work.
Mayfield under center on first down. Toss sweep near side. Here comes Chubb with a cutback. He's out to the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Here he goes to the 50. Here goes Chubb. He's going to go. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nick Chubb. He's got a hat trick. Wow, 88 yards by Chubb.
That's a good call. Jim Donovan doing his thing on the Browns radio network. Although with those unis, they looked a little more orange. It doesn't matter if they wore polka dots. They needed a win, and they got it. They resuscitate their season. Big one, Teague, no doubt.
Big, big win for the Cleveland Browns. Now the NFC, the AFC North is knotted. They, they're sitting atop there with the Baltimore Ravens, who they just now have a game on because they beat them up. A lot. This was a surprising one for Lamar Jackson. Wasn't as effective as he had been. In fact, I think he had an under 50 yards passing in the first half. He just didn't have that same oomph. You could tell there was extra motivation on Baker Mayfield's part in this Cleveland Browns offense. We knew it was only a matter of time before this team with all of this talent started clicking. Baker had over 340 yards. And the touchdown that you heard, Odell Beckham, he had his, Jarvis Landry had his. And most importantly, when you run the ball the way that Nick Chubb ran the ball, and I don't know if you saw the next gen stats on that.
What did he hit,
21.8 or
the,
whatever
the
it
fastest
was.
The fastest is about 23, just
exactly.
For perspective.
He's the fastest one this year so far. We're comparing him to like these sprinters who were just amazingly fast. But Nick Chubb, I didn't think he was that fast. He ran away with that one and got themselves a huge win.
Hey.
On the road against a division rival.
He could run, but he's no Rich Eisen.
No.
So the Browns 2-2. They're at the 49ers. San Francisco well rested, coming off a bye week. And right now, the Niners early 3.5-point favorites. Mm-hmm. I don't like the Browns on that early. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens, they are 2-2 at Pittsburgh, 1 Eastern CBS. So we move on. Good football so far. In Motown, the Lions give the Chiefs all they can handle, but KC. A little late game magic.
24 seconds remaining in the game. The Lions 30, the Chiefs 27. The football just inside the 1 yard line. Handoff, Darrell Williams trying to dive. Touchdown! Kansas City! Darrell Williams gets barely into the end zone with 20 seconds left.
All right, that is how it sounded. This was all sorts of wacky and wildness. Mitch Holt is doing his thing on the Chiefs radio network. Kansas City wasn't always pretty, but it was an effective finish when it mattered. They pick up their fourth win of the season, Teague.
Yeah, it's very rare that you have a Pat Mahomes stat line where he throws for over 300 yards and no touchdowns. He also didn't have any interceptions, which kept them in this game. But this Detroit Lions squad, and look, the Chiefs are going to be the Chiefs. They're going to continue doing what they're doing. But it's the Lions are the more interesting conversation here because at 2-1-1, they don't do anything particularly great. They aren't really, like, egregiously bad at anything.
No, absolutely not.
But they play hard, and there's, like, this grit about them that we have to now start to give credit to Matt Patricia, their head coach, regarding. Again, culture changing is hard. And in Detroit, it's been a long time since they've had a solid one, one that'll fight through bad times. It feels like they're heading a little bit down that road right now. I gave them no chance in this game, and they had a chance to win it all the way up until the end.
Hey, Stafford wasn't even supposed to necessarily play.
That's right.
You and I were on the air on Friday doing our picks and everything. Stafford was listed as game-time decision, almost 3 bills, 3 touchdowns. Post-game, Stafford on a tough L.
The way we practice, the way we work, the way we come out and play, we're a good football team. Lost to another good football team today. There were a bunch of great plays made in this game, a couple bad plays by each team made in this game. That's the way it goes in the NFL. Came down in the last 15 seconds. They were undefeated coming into this game, so were we. Somebody was going to have to lose. Obviously, you want to win them all at home. It was a good opportunity to beat a good team, and we were darn close.
Yeah, and I'm not willing to crowd them here, but I'm with Tiki. I think we may have been a little unfair, a little hasty in attaching those negative assertions to the culture with Matt Patricia and the Lions. So far, 2-1-1, you take it. They really should have won that game. Moving on, finally in L.A., the Rams' offense finally clicking, but the defense absolutely gashed by Jameis Winston and the Bucs.
Play action, fake, dropping. Winston throws a deep ball. Downfield, got a receiver open. It is caught on the third. Oh, the 20 to the 15 to the 10. 5, Mike Evans, touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Winston goes deep and throws a beautiful rainbow pass. 67 yards in the box. have scored 40-plus.
All right, Gene Dekaroff, the box on the Buccaneers Radio Network. This was one of the only thing I got right in this game, the only thing I actually played was the over. It was part of my six-pack on Friday. I nailed that. I just thought the Rams would go bonkers. Yeah. I actually said that they would touch 40 and the Bucs would do just enough to get it over. I didn't see 55-40 bucks over the Rams.
What was the line? 50-54?
It was, I got it right here for you. It's funny, Ash, there, Cheek. The over-under was 49 and a half.
49. The Bucs went over themselves.
That was an easy one.
Man, that was a really easy one. And look, we talked about this game significantly. The one player we didn't get deep enough into is Shaquille Barrett, who is the outstanding defensive end for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, formerly a Denver Bronco. They wanted to keep him, but they just drafted Bradley Chubb. So he walked because he wanted to start his own journey. Well, he's leading the league in sacks right now with nine sacks through four games. And he had an interception, the tip interception of Jared Goff, which helped put this game heavily in the Bucs' favor early. Look, we dissected this one many, many ways. But the Buccaneers are a team that you have to take seriously on a week-in and week basis, especially because Jameis is getting smart, and defensively, Todd Bowles has these guys playing unbelievably well and aggressively.
Bucs feel different. They look a lot different. Tampa now 2-2. We mentioned this before. They're at New Orleans coming up in week number five. The Rams 3-1. They are in Seattle. It's a fun start to the week five around the NFL. They kick it off for us on Thursday night in Seattle. That is a pick'em right now, so no real feel for that point spread-wise. It's a pick'em, so we'll see what happens there. Five-star Rewind brought to you by Skittles and Snickers. Football season's back, and there's no sweeter way to celebrate than by adding Snickers and Skittles, the official candy sponsors of the NFL, to your game day spread. So we do it every Monday. It's been a staple for 7 years here on the show. Five-star Rewind. We spin you around the best sounds of the week. Good stuff right there.
Yeah, no, it was a great week. And we didn't even get to my Giants.
No, we'll
Giants
get to
are suddenly 2-2.
We'll get to them. Hey, we got two more hours,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, we do. It's really not about the Giants. It's about the disaster that is the Washington Redskins.
I'm not sure Jay Gruden makes it through the season. We'll talk about that and start to weave in the other stories as well.
Sure, he makes it through the month?
No.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.